When if you start asking yourself those kind of questions, and a lot of people in the same area are saying no, then something is obviously happening there. Don't get into that. But if they all emigrate, then it's going to be labor shortage. I mean, that's long story short, people are leaving. There's nobody left to work.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapper Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapperforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Map It Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode 4 of a very juicy 5-part series. And this is the juiciest of the 5-part series so far. We are talking today with Bram from Paso Paso, and we are in this episode talking, we're asking the question, is coffee going away? Bram, why are we asking this question?
Coffee is in trouble, for sure. And I feel like we're going to have a nice discussion this episode. We may not agree on all points, but I have to agree that coffee is in trouble.
Why is it in trouble?
Because of the mountain issues, right? Mm-hmm. I think climate change and labor, from the perspective of being able to produce coffee, I'm not even talking about being able to produce coffee profitably, right? Just talking about it making it onto a ship is being challenged a lot.
A lot of people have heard this idea, is coffee going away? Like it's a question that's getting asked more and more, and they say, coffee will never go away. And I mean, simply the fact that the question exists these days, we were not asking this question 10 years ago. It wasn't even considered. Mm-hmm. The frequency with which this question is being asked these days should be raising alarm bells for people all over the world in the coffee industry. And they should be asking, how legitimate is that question for the ecosystem that I exist in? Mm-hmm. Because in my opinion, what's happening right now is going to determine what happens in 10 years from now. And the decisions that we make around what we're doing. I don't think that there's any time left for us to course correct. When you and I mm-hmm. talked the other night, I had vocalized that to you. I think that we have been signaling, and the generation of leaders before the current leaders in this industry have been screaming from the tops of their voices, saying to people, please start paying the producer more. Please look after the producer. And because we did not do that, and because we did not take care of our businesses and understand what it is to run an efficient business, we are now in trouble. Mm-hmm. So in your opinion, is coffee going away?
I don't think it's going away completely, right? As you said, it won't evaporate. I did think about it. Since we last spoke, it did marinate a little bit in my head and I was writing my notes. And I don't think coffee is going away. Like, it will always find a way. But I think coffee is going to suffer a lot. Maybe not now, but we're setting it up. Like, what we're doing now is going to impact what's going to happen. But indeed, if you ask the question in 20, 30 years, if you look at things just farmer demographics, then it's painting a bleak picture. And I'll have a couple of anecdotes here to support this as well. But I don't think it's going away, because I do think coffee will find its way. But I think it's going to be more boring, going to be more homogenous. Because there's still going to be people who will find a way to produce coffee. I actually know people who are planting thousands of hectares right now of coffee, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe because they are started, they'll go away. So there will be new areas that become suitable for growing coffee and people will continue to innovate. But I don't think it's going to be the same amazing coffee you and I enjoy today, or at least that specific coffee that will be much less available in the future.
What do you think the forces are that exist today? If you were to say the top either 3 to 5 forces that are challenging the existence of coffee at the moment.
I'll start with labor.
Help people understand what you mean by that. And folks, another great series to listen to around this, any producer that's come on this podcast, definitely. Mm-hmm. But listen to the series with Fabrizio Andrade. He was fantastic. Go ahead.
So you need labor to do any work at a farm. And the primary work to be done is harvesting.
Mm-hmm. Picking the Brazil, coffee, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. Yeah. In Brazil, it's done mechanically, although there's, of course, their own issues there as well, as you spoke about with Fabrizio. Mm-hmm. But the amount of people you need to pick coffee is just insane, right? So I've been to many farmers and a great picker, very quick picker, pick up to 200 kilos of coffee, cherries in a day.
For reference, folks, I did it for 4 hours and I got 7 pounds. It's rather embarrassing. I got 7 pounds in 4 hours.
Exactly. That's an expert picker on a flat farm in a very productive field, right? Mm. It's not reality. And that's 200 kilos of coffee cherry will give you about 30 kilos of road to farm. So the amount of people you need is a lot. And these people are going away.
Mm.
Especially in Central America. The immigration to the U.S. from Central America has spiked a lot. And I used to work for a Nicaraguan company, actually. And I would say I still follow a lot of my coworkers on Instagram. These are workers from an exporting company, office workers with above average salary compared to a coffee picker, I would say, cuppers and all that. People are amazing at cupping coffee. They're all in the U.S. right now. They all got jobs doing other things than coffee. And because Nicaragua wasn't a good place for them to be anymore. And there's many similar stories as this one from other countries as well. So throughout the coffee production area, not only pickers, but also other farm workers, people working at exporters, people drying coffee, it's all manual labor. And many of them most people who are younger who still have a dream. Sounds a bit sad, maybe, lefty. But people are like, well, you know, I'm going to take huge risks to go illegally to another country, fearing for their life.
Mm.
Because they want to have a better life. They have a good life. They don't want to leave their homes. But they're like, well, it's just not giving me enough wage. Not enough development opportunities.
Or it's dangerous. It can be really dangerous in some of these countries.
Exactly. And these are not people who say like, okay, well, you know, they can ask the question like, do I want to raise my kids here?
Mm.
If you start asking yourself those kind of questions and a lot of people in the same area are saying no, then something is obviously happening there. Don't get into that. But if they all emigrate, then it's going to be labor shortage. I mean, that's long story short, people are leaving. There's nobody left to work. Let's keep it there. And that is just spiked a lot in the last couple of years. And even that's on the farms, but also I follow a lot of coffee shops online and more I see posts, hey, sorry, we're closed today because we don't have staff. We're going to close Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So I think it's a supply chain wide issue of labor. And a coffee farm cannot just close, right?
Mm.
For a day. Of course, it's horrible for coffee shops. They need to close. They need to pay their rent, etc. But a coffee farm, they will literally see their cherries fall to the ground if there's not people. And that is what I hear more and more and more and more. Producing coffee, it's like you make 10 cappuccinos and you only have one person to deliver them to the tables, and you have 100 tables to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And out of those 10 cappuccinos, three are going to get cold. You spend a lot of money making them, you're going to have to make them again.
Yep. What's the next thing that's going to cause coffee to go away?
Go away.
In inverted commas. What's the next on the list?
Then there's climate change, of course, and weather. The risk of crops destroyed is very high.
Mm-hmm.
Either it can be rain, it can be drought, it can be frost, it can be heat. But coffee is a very peculiar plant and it is used to a certain cycle.
Mm-hmm.
A cycle of a wet season, a dry season, and a certain temperature range where it can grow in. And if these parameters change, the coffee will simply grow less or grow defectively or stop growing. And that's what we're definitely witnessing. Unexpected rains, unexpected frost, unexpected heat, unexpected drought. It's all just chipping away at productivity, right? So it's not take coffee away, right? It's not like, oh, okay, well, you know, today it is 34 degrees, all my coffee plants died.
Yeah.
But it's in a way, you know, it's bits and pieces here and there. And then I'm 20% less because there was rainfall when it was flowering and the flowers so off, 20% less of that. And then there's no labor, so I have 20% less of that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just all these small issues are mounting on top of each other.
I would challenge that a little bit to say that I think that climate change is third on the list rather than second on the list. And I think that the second on the list is price. I would say that price is causing producers to rip up coffee trees at a faster rate than climate change is reducing the yield or destroying crops at this point in history. The conversations that I'm hearing people have saying, it just doesn't make sense for us to grow only coffee anymore. We have to rip up 20 or 30 or 50% of our crop to make place for other things that we can plant on our farm so that we can hedge against the price of coffee not delivering or whatever it is. And to me, that's become more prevalent at the moment than climate change. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think price in the long term will have a negative effect with more and more producers folding. But the thing about price is it goes up again. And when the price goes up again, there's hope again. And then people start again. So there is, I think, a lot of coffee producers remain hopeful, right? Because it's a family tradition, it's generations, and the price
they've
is
already
now,
migrated. They've already left by that point.
Yeah, that's the other issue. But the ones that are still there,
we're stacking.
Like, oh, why? You know, I think coffee farmers are very persistent, and they'll be like, "Well, you know, price is gonna get better, or I'm just gonna ferment the hell out of it. I'm gonna get a better price." So it will be a slow
recovery, death. Or a slow,
a slow death.
Yeah.
With price, with more and more people folding, right? With more and more people saying, well, you know, this is not it. It's not working. But I feel like price is, when you stop because of the price, you are forced to give up. But there's, I don't know, I'm so inspired by coffee farmers who in a way continue to operate on a loss for so many years, right? It doesn't make sense in a way.
Nor is it healthy.
Like, it's not healthy. No.
How are they doing it? Are they doing it through grants? Are they doing it through sheer grit? What is it? And does this eventually end? Because as Fabricio was talking about in our series, succession plans are melting away. the next exactly. generation just simply doesn't want to get into this clusterfuck.
Indeed. And I think it's grit. I think it's a very unrecorded intertwinement with people's personal finances, mm-hmm. right? So for many coffee farmers, the business and their life, it's the same thing. If you have a coffee farm, then you buy inputs or you fix your washing machine. Let's put it like that. So
right.
people are maybe not fixing their washing machine to
buy fertilizer. Pay the coffee.
Exactly. So these kind of things, that's why it goes so unnoticed, right? It's like an unnoticed loss in a way. And that's the grit of mostly the older generation coffee producers. They've been in it forever. Prices have been good in the past. And maybe they're too old to emigrate. And they're too old to say, okay, I'll do something else.
Mm-hmm. They don't know anything else.
Exactly. And they might indeed, they'll plant something different. They do a couple of different things that they're not going to do. They're unlikely to do a complete overhaul of their farm. But then, indeed, at some point, they are going to continue to turn a loss and lose their farm. And then some developer will do something with it, either plant coffee in a different way or then plant something else, which is more likely to happen at the producer themselves saying, okay, plant something else. Or if you look at the average age of a coffee farmer, which I think is maybe like 58, something like that, if we're very bold as we can be here, in 30 to 40 years, most of these people would have passed away.
Mm.
And if not a lot of young people that, if they're still even in the country, are going to take over that farm and say, well, I'm going to take over this incredibly struggling coffee farm and try to turn it around. There are stories. I know a lot of amazing people who have done that, and I really admire that. But that's not going to be what's going to happen across the board, right? And then that land, it gets inherited by a couple of different family members who will sell it for scraps. And that's actually, I think Costa Rica is a very good example of that, where Costa Rica used to produce 2 million bags of coffee 20, 30 years ago, and today produce 800,000, 900,000, most of land was inherited and then sold for scraps by most people, mostly the urbanization in this case. And here's another example of where a complete growing area ceased to exist, which is called Tres Rios, Costa Rica, which is like Costa Rica made this whole brand of the six growing regions and whatnot. And Tres Rios is one of them, but it doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. It's completely urban. I went to a mill there, and it's like, it's crazy, like watching how the coffee is drying and exposed to Walmart.
Wow.
And people obviously said, well, I'm not going to grow coffee here. I can just sell it for urbanization, make some money off it. But that is part of a culture dying then, right? And
right.
urbanization may not be what is being replaced for everywhere in the world, but there can be other crops. The land can be repurposed. Maybe somebody will just protect it for carbon credits instead of growing coffee on it. Who knows? And indeed, if the other options are becoming more favorable as coffee, as in the current situation, I wouldn't blame anybody to say, well, maybe coffee is not the right option. And you inherit the land and you have this clean slate and then have to make a logical decision. What am I going to do with this land? With no emotional attachment to it. Then
coffee doesn't make sense. Coffee
farms are going to lose. Indeed, that's when coffee farms are going to lose a lot of ground. And that's what we see happening. And that can't go completely away, but all of these things are chipping away at the supply of coffee, right? And the supply will be taken over somewhere else. But in what way?
And this is where we talk about consolidation, right? When what you have is... And for folks who don't know what consolidation means, what it looks like is where big companies come in and they buy up smaller companies and they just acquire them, or they buy up coffee producers' lands and acquire more and more and more and consolidate it, put it all together under their own umbrella, their own company.
Mm-hmm.
And why that's a problem is because they then get to dictate the terms of everything. They get to dictate the terms of the quality. They get to dictate the terms of the pricing. They get to determine who gets access to that coffee, how much they're going to sell it for, when they're going to sell it. Are they going to hold back supply so that they can inflate the price? All of these things. That's a small sample of what the flow-on effects are of consolidation. And what will happen is it's an easy decision for the next generation to turn around and say, fuck that, I don't want to have to live the same life as my parents did, where they were living from month to month and we didn't know if we were going to be able to eat or fix the washing machine or whatever it is. I want an easier life.
Yeah. I'll play the devil's advocate, is it? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
On the consolidation part a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because indeed, if it, consolidation in a way, it doesn't sound good. It usually has a bit of a negative connotation to it. But then if we play out the image of all these coffee farms consolidating,
mm-hmm.
a lot of sadness in those other family traditions disappearing, right? Mm-hmm. The tradition of growing coffee. But hopefully, and as roasters, as consumers, as people, hopefully we can inspire the companies that do take over all these coffee farms and consolidate it to do it in the best way possible, at least.
So what's your plan to make that happen? And who are you sitting down and having a beer with and saying, you know what, you shouldn't do this and this and this and this? What do you think the likelihood of that happening is?
I'm just hopeful.
I can tell you, I'm in a room a lot of the time with the people who are looking. I get people come to me and say, Lee, we have this much money. Do you know anyone who's looking to sell their land? We want to buy coffee farms. We want to make sure that our government has access to coffee.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I have people who come to me with enormous budgets saying we're trying to secure all the coffee that's necessary for our country. Tell us the producers who we should speak to.
Interesting. I've never heard this before. I'll be honest with you. I've never heard.
And here's the surprising part about it, Bram.
Uh-huh.
It only started in 2024.
And these people, I know you're the host, but let me ask a question.
Yeah.
What are they considering? Do they know anything about coffee? And do they say like, hey, we're going to apply, agroforestry. We're going to make it the best coffee farm ever. Or is it going to be somewhere where hopefully nobody finds them and they can just churn out coffee without considering other aspects too much?
So you tell me, what's the motivation behind somebody wanting a farm these days when coffee's doing what coffee's doing?
Securing supply.
That's right. It.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking after producers. They're going to go in there. They're going to secure their supply. And that is why this is the consequence of, is coffee going away? Well, governments have realized and big companies have realized this is going away. And we're at the 11th hour here. If we don't secure our supply for sugar, for flour, for coffee, for soy,
mm-hmm.
because this isn't just happening in coffee.
Mm-hmm.
We have not treated producers well in any commodity. The same thing's happening in beef.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I think it's a really interesting topic. I'm just gathering my thoughts here. It depends a lot. I'm obviously all for ownership, right?
Yep. As am I.
And
just to be very clear to people who are like, so who are these people that are approaching Lee? Like, I'm glad I'm the person that's in the rooms with these people, because I then get to say, look, there we can win. Everyone can win here. You can spend all of this money buying this land and keep this family on this land, so that they can live in the country that they were born in and they can look after the land for you. That's, to me, that's a win-win for everybody.
Exactly. There are, indeed, it's, questions that need to be guided very, very carefully indeed. How, where, who. And I wouldn't personally, if you were like, you know, should foreign companies start owning coffee farms? My first answer would probably be no.
Panama begs to differ, mate.
What?
Panama begs to differ.
Yeah. Well, but then the question is, if you do come in with a lot of money, then just do the best job possible, right?
And
disclaimer,
and
I have a very small.
Right. But the thing here is now we're being idealistic because the people who are going into these, I mean, we're not talking about small players here. We are talking about massive companies and governments that are trying to ensure food security. And when we're talking about things at this scale, folks, the people I'm legitimately fearful for, like I lose sleep over this shit. And the thing that I am legitimately fearful for is the small business owners. Because when the consolidation happens, and I mean small business owners at both ends of the supply chain, because these big companies are going to be fine. Either way, these big companies are going to be fine. However, if the big companies do decide to spend all of their money to secure all of this supply of coffee, you, Mr. Little Coffee Roaster Man, not you, Brahm, obviously, but I mean the average coffee roaster, where the fuck are you going to get your coffee from? So coffee may not be going away for the big companies, but it will be going away for the small guy.
Yeah. And for the small coffee producer, which is more my side of the chain, for how much if they are producing a lot, like these unimaginable amounts of coffee, indeed, if they have so much supply, more supply is going to drive down the price where they're buying from, right? So that could push the price down a lot as well for the people who are still producing coffee. That's a interesting thing I learned today that I did not know was happening.
What we're going to do, because we don't want everyone to go and slash their wrists. We don't want anyone to go and slash their wrists. We're going to end this series on a high. So what we want you to do is please don't ignore the last episode of this series, which is the next episode. And what we're going to do is ask the question, is there any hope for the future of coffee? I promise we've got some good things to say.
Yeah.
I promise it's worth listening in the next episode. So join us for that, folks. Peace, love, and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.